Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and The God Is Just a Prayer Away, radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, I am the resurrection and the life. It is written, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, that his name shall be called Wonderful. It is written, I am the bright and the morning star. It is written, he shall be like a root out of dry ground. It is written, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. It is written, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased. I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war, and his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many crowns, and out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God the Almighty, that he hath on his garment and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, where'er you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy when his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongues employ. At that name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of Kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete.
God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled The Name of Jesus. So listen to Paul as he tells us in Philippians chapter 2 how the Lord Jesus Christ considered not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man, found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and gave unto him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus is above every name. Consider how Peter said to a man lame from his birth, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Paul spoke to the demon and the maid in Acts chapter 16 and said, I charge thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. Jesus said, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do. Peter said, again, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen to Peter in Acts chapter 2. Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God has given him a name that is above every name in heaven and on earth. Jesus, in the Scripture, is called by many names, and each name helps us see him from a different perspective. So here are a few of the terms that describe the one whose name is above every name in heaven and on earth. One of his names, Wonderful. In Isaiah chapter 9, he said, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is wonderful. He was wonderful in his birth. There never was another like it. Gabriel told Mary, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, wherefore the holy thing that is begotten shall be called the Son of God. He was wonderful also in his life. In John 8, he issued the challenge to his enemies when he asked, which of you convicteth me of sin? There were no takers. In Hebrews 4, it is said that he was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. He was wonderful also in his resurrection, the only resurrected person who never died again after being raised from the dead. And what a wonder it will be when Jesus returns on the clouds with all the holy angels with power and great glory. What a wonder, as Christians, to be caught up to meet Jesus in the clouds. Meet the Lord in the air. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you Christians in all parts of the world who hear this program and I have never met, but the day will come when we shall meet face to face. It will be here, there, or in the air, and you can count on it, because his name is Wonderful. And that reminds us that his name is also called the Prince of Peace. When the Lord was born, the heavenly host appeared to the shepherds and proclaimed, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to men. It looks like the angels were mistaken. As we hear the news concerning the possibility of the next terrorist attack and the possibility of World War III, the problem lies in the fact that mankind has overlooked the first part of the angelic message, glory to God in the highest. How can it be said that America has given glory to God in the highest with such laws permitting abortion? And when the name Jesus Christ cannot be used in public prayer, now they say we should not bring religion into politics. But why do they bring politics into religion by having prayer publicly and then insist on leaving the name of Jesus out of it. Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, that will I do." He never said anything about answering an ecumenical prayer prayed in nobody's name. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul told Timothy there is one God and one mediator between man and God, himself man, Christ Jesus. If a name is Christ, of Christ is deleted from the prayer. They might as well delete the prayer. Jesus is still the Prince of Peace, just in case anybody wants him. Not only is he the Prince of Peace, but he's also called by another name, the Great I Am. When the band of soldiers came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus went forth and saith unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am." When therefore he said unto them, "I am," they went backward and fell on the ground. Again they came back for another dose. "Whom seek ye?" Jesus answered, "I told you, I am. God said unto Moses, 'I am that I am.'" What a demonstration of the power of Jesus when several hundred soldiers fell down backwards with the simple declaration of Jesus, "I am." Only when he, of his own accord, withdrew the power, were they able to arrest him. Think also if they fell before him when he stood before them, clad in the rags of his mortal flesh. What will it be like when these miserable wretches are called out of their graves to stand before him in all of his glory, surrounded by angels? Many times the title of I Am was used by Jesus. He said, "I am the bread of life that came down out of heaven." He said, "I am the door of the sheep." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If a man believe in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lived down his life for the sheep." He said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." God hath given unto him a name that is above every name. His name is the Great I Am, and his name is also the root out of dry ground. Isaiah says in the chapter 53, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness that we should see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him." Jesus, the name that is above every name, is the root out of dry ground. There's no way to explain a beautiful rose growing in the arid dryness of a sandy desert. This is the situation with Jesus. How can you explain his life? There was nothing at Nazareth that would bring forth such a life. It was proverbial that nothing good could come out of Nazareth. Even his enemies could not explain his knowledge. They said in John chapter 7, they were confounded with his knowledge and said, "Whence hath this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus told them how he learned when he said, "My teaching is not mine, but his that sent me." There was nothing in his surroundings to explain him except to say with Isaiah, "He is a tender plant, brought up like a root out of dry ground." Now another name of Jesus is the Bright and Morning Star. In the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus called himself the Bright and Morning Star. This was the fulfillment of the prophecy of a reluctant prophet called Balaam. In Numbers 24, "A star," he said, "out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel." That prophecy was fulfilled at the birth of Jesus. There were two stars when Jesus was born. The star in the sky and the star in the manger. The stars in the heaven were reliable guides to ships at sea, especially in the days of sailing vessels. One time a sailor was told to keep the wheel and keep his eye on a certain star. Hours later, the captain appeared and found the ship off course. He said, "I thought I told you to keep your eye on the star." The sailor said, "I did. But we passed that star 2 hours ago." Jesus, the bright and morning star, is a sure guide for the old ship of Zion. Keep your eye on the star. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves around me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Charting compass, come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Think, too, the bright and morning star is a reminder of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The morning star is the brightest star in the heavens and appears just before sunrise. That title of Jesus is a reminder of the return of the Lord when we consider that he said three times in the last chapter of Revelation, "I come quickly." What a comfort to think of the Lord Jesus as the bright and morning star. Consider the cross. A trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. We need to remember also that the bright and morning star never changes. The stars that we see in the heavens in the 21st century are the same stars that shone down on the apostles when the Lord walked upon the earth. How much more is that true with the bright and morning star? People today in their 80s and 90s can still remember how they chanted in their childhood the same nursery rhyme as children today. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Jesus is the bright and morning star. Another name he's called is Emmanuel. When Gabriel announced the coming birth of Jesus to Joseph, it was said the prophecy was fulfilled, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is by interpretation God with us. Jesus is with us in his birth because he lived in a human body, God with us. He was subject to the same temptations of humanity, God with us. He is with us in evangelism. He said in the Great Commission, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." God with us. He is with us in death. He died like the rest of us. And beyond that, he tasted of death once for every man. And he will be with the Christian at the moment of death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. That name that's above every name is Emmanuel and is also called the resurrection and the life. Jesus said unto Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus is the resurrection. That is his name. There are several people who have been raised from the dead, but he is the only one who will deserve the title of the resurrection. In the scripture, there were several resurrections. In the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha raised the dead. Then in the New Testament, three by the hand of the Lord Jesus, the widow of Nain's son, the daughter of Jairus, and the resurrection of the rotting corpse of Lazarus. Then there was one by Peter in the resurrection of Dorcas, and one by Paul, a young man who fell out the window and was taken up dead. Ladies and gentlemen, if I could call the roll of all those who have died and then raised up, I could stand at the grave of the widow of Nain's son and say, "Where art thou?" And the grave would yield no answer. He has long since died again. Then one by one, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, Dorcas, Eutychus, each time saying, "Where art thou?" And the grave would yield no answer. But let me stand at the grave of Jesus and call out, "Jesus, thou Son of God, where art thou?" The answer would come from heaven, as recorded by the Apostle John in Revelation. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. The name of Jesus is the only name that can be called the resurrection and the life. And now, the most powerful name the world has ever known, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." In Revelation, John saw a vision of Jesus riding on a white horse. And he hath on his garment and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the name of Jesus, a name exalted above every name in heaven and on earth. We should not be surprised that he will come as the King. When he was born into the world, he came as the King. The wise men said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They wanted to make him king after he fed the 5,000. When he rode into Jerusalem on the day of triumphal entry, he came as a king. Listen to the multitude as they cried out, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold thy king cometh unto thee." In his prediction of the judgment in Matthew 25, twice he is called king. At his trial, they crowned him with a crown of thorns, and he kneeled before him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then Jesus confessed himself as king when he said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." He went to the cross as king. Pilate wrote the sign himself and said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." In view of all this, it is natural and expected that he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On his head he will be wearing many crowns, because he is the King of everything. Now let Enoch, the seventh from Adam, tell how it will be. Enoch prophesied, "Behold, the Lord came with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their works of ungodliness which they have ungodly wrought, and of all the hard sayings which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. When the king comes, he will come in force. He will have a sword proceeding out of his mouth, and with it he will smite the nations. Then he shall rule them with a rod of iron." Paul tells us the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And in Hebrews, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It was the king himself, it said in John chapter 12, "The word that I spake unto them, the same shall judge them at the last day." During World War II, there was a list of the leaders of the major nations in the newspaper. The first in the list was Churchill. Under him, Hitler, Roosevelt, Il Duce, Stalin. At the bottom of the list, the Japanese leader, Tojo. At the end of the list was the question, which one of the world leaders will be the true victor in the war? The winner was spelled out at the bottom by the list, by the first letters of those six names, C-H-R-I-S-T. Jesus has to be the ultimate winner, because God has given him a name that is above every name in heaven and on earth, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, in conclusion, the name of Jesus by itself is the greatest name of all, greater than any name in heaven and on earth. Napoleon was a great man, but Caesar was just as great. Washington was a great man, but Lincoln was just as great. Edison was a great man, but Einstein was just as great. Jefferson was a great man, but Theodore Roosevelt was just as great. Columbus was a great man, but Lindbergh was just as great. Henry Ford was a great man, but John D. Rockefeller was just as great. Paul was a great man, but Peter was just as great. Abraham was a great man, but David was just as great. But when you name the name of Jesus, there is no other name that you can compare with that name, the greatest name of all. But what does the name of Jesus mean to you? Well, to the geologist, he may mean the Rock of Ages. To the horticulturist, he's the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. To the astronomer, he's the bright and morning star. To the baker, he's the bread of life. To the electrician, he's the light of the world. To the undertaker, he's the resurrection and the life. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the bride, he is the bridegroom of the church, which is the bride of Christ. To the ruler, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To the lawyer, he is the advocate with the Father. And to all of these, he has to be unto us the greatest name of all, the name of Jesus, the one who came to seek and to save that which is lost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and hath given unto him a name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. So if you're right, it's all right. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell someone, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.